Cavani with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach. And we are our Camillo Stanthony podcast that occasionally talks fantasy basketball. Natty, how you doing today?
I'm living, buddy. How you doing?
I am good. I am good. We were talking about this before we started recording, but the weather we've been having gorgeous powder snow throughout this entire winter. And then on Tuesday, we got rain, which froze. So there's now a nice frozen sheet of ice over this snow, all this nice snow that we have. And of course, this happens before myself, my sister, and my mom are planning on going skiing tomorrow. So of course, while we wait all winter throughout this beautiful, powdery, gorgeous winter, and then we get hit with frozen ice to go skiing on tomorrow. So hopefully things will be a little bit better than they are currently outside our house, better on the mountain, but just our luck, isn't it?
And good luck to all of those people in Texas and everywhere else in the country who have similar issues.
I think my skiing troubles are outweigh everyone else's issues.
I mean, you could take a tumble. You could sprain something.
But you know, those issues in Texas, Natty, can't be that bad, considering Ted Cruz thought it was the perfect time to go on a vacation to Mexico.
Sometimes your daughters are just the worst, you know? It's like
clutch move. Really? What a clutch move to blame it on your kids. Like, clearly packing a week's worth of clothes and being like, my kids wanted to go, so we had to go drop them off.
Yeah, that guy just accumulates negative kudos
just
better than anybody else, really.
You would think that maybe he would have his political team would be a little more savvy. All right, well, should we talk some basketball?
Let's do it, buddy.
Let's do it. As always, we start with our biggest takeaways from the week, in which we share one thing we love and hated. However, we're going to spice it up this week, and instead of doing that, the NBA All-Star Game, despite the fact that no one wants to play in it, and it's a stupid idea, and it's entirely just a money grab, considering the fact that even Adam Silver has come out and being like, no one will be there. We won't have any events. Like, our players are going to sit in quarantine for a week in order to, like, get this meaningless game happen so that we can get ad revenue. It will happen. And so we're going to open the show talking about that. And we're going to go through and give our all-star picks. Where do you want to start, Natty, in the West or the East?
Dealer's choice, man. Whatever you want to do.
Dealer's choice. Let's start in the West.
I do have a caveat before we begin, though.
Okay, hit me.
Beg your pardon. Excuse me for
interrupting. Your pardon is begged.
So first of all, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that. You're a generous guy.
I try.
Second, just to tack on to what you were saying, it's also an all-star game where only, 30 games have been played by some teams. Yeah. So with my all-stars, I just decided I'm not considering anyone who hasn't played fewer than 22 games, which is about like 73%.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Not every team has played the same amount of games, obviously, but in this year, I think that matters. Like, if this was a regular year and we had 15 to 20 more games or more to consider all these dudes, then we would consider how many games have you played. Now, like, we're being a little bit generous, but I feel like, you know, if you've played 70% of the games, then you should be allowed to be considered. So you have to have played at least 22 games. This is before Thursday night's games. That means for me, no Kevin Durant, no Kyrie Irving, no CJ, no Paul George, no Jimmy Butler, no Westbrook. There's other players, but like those are sort of the biggest ones. So I filtered down. I made it.
Wow.
Maybe I can't tell if it's so basically if it was tougher
you
or easier.
Copped out. You made it easier for you. You copped out, and instead of making tough decisions, you're like, I'm going to set these arbitrary parameters so that I don't have to make tough choices.
But the thing is, like, so many of those dudes are just automatics that then I had to consider really sort of like second tier, not second tier players, but guys that wouldn't be automatic.
Sure.
And so it was a larger pool. And for instance, like Chris Middleton is not an all-star for me, a starter or one of the full 12
reserves,
even though he's shooting 50, 40, 90 on the season. And the Bucks are, you know, one of the best teams in the NBA. It's all-stars.
So let's start.
All-star
let's
games start with is the always East tough. End. So
yeah, okay. It's always tough. So let's start with the East since you already kind of brought it up. Who are your East starters? Let's start with that. Your starting five for the East.
Okay. My starting five for the East are Bradley Beal, who's the overall point leader in the NBA, 32.8 per game.
Obvious.
Zach LaVine, who's seventh in points per game at 28.5. I will explain myself afterwards. Domantas Sabonis, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid.
A complete dick. How can you have Durant off of your you're like, I'm not having Durant, which is fine. Power to you. You do you. How does Jaylen Brown not make your starters list when you don't have to put Durant in there?
So Jaylen and Jason have basically identical numbers, sort of like they're both in my reserves. They're both scoring 25 points per game. Jaylen's 25, 5, and 3, 5 rebounds, 3 dimes, and Tatum's 25, 7, and 4. Both of them are magnificent, but the Celtics are a tad underwhelming.
Sure.
And LaVine and Sabonis, so those are the two dudes that would be out if both Celtics were in. Sabonis, there are three players averaging 20 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, and 5 assists per game, like Sabonis is. Giannis, Joker, and him. So, right off the bat, pretty nice company.
That's decent, yes.
The Pacers are 15-14. They're fourth in the East. You know, that should be recognized and rewarded, I think. The Pacers have also had kind of a turbulent season, even though it's been quiet. They should have Caris LeVert, but he's sick and getting treatment. They don't have Depot anymore. And for LaVine, I mentioned that he's seventh in points per game in the NBA. Here's the list of players who are averaging 25 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and 5 assists per game. Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, Giannis, the Joker, Kawhi, LeBron, and Zach LaVine. He has the best three-point percentage of that group of players while taking the second most three-point attempts per game. He's shooting 52% from the floor overall, which is better than Curry, Kawhi, LeBron, and Luka. The Bulls aren't good. They're 12-15. They're in the ninth seed right now, so a play-in. But they're 5-5 over their last 10 games. LaVine just looks like an all-star. Like, if he was on a team that was doing even just a little bit better, he would be. If he was a Knick, he would be an automatic all-star.
Oh, he's an all-star for me. He's on the reserve. So I think if I were to pull your 20 game or 22 game limit and have that kick Durant out of my, so my Eastern starters are Beal, Brown, Durant, Giannis, and Joel. And I think if you were to say that Durant doesn't apply or can't make the all-star game because of his game restrictions, then I would slot LaVine into that Durant spot.
Okay. All right. So right there.
I love
your green is showing.
My green is showing nothing. Okay, so here's my thing about Jaylen Brown. I understand that, yes, maybe
stand up while you do this. I hope your
stats are similar to Tatum's. I think the reason why Jaylen Brown should get a starting nod is simply because of the fact that this is, you're rewarding this, like, this jump that he has taken. Like, that's the same is true with LaVine, where we always knew LaVine was, like, could be this elite score, but his three-point shooting has just been phenomenal this season. And for Jaylen, like, Jaylen's offensive game has developed so much this year from last year to this year. And the fact that he is top, you know, what is he, like, sixth still in points per game or something like that? or maybe, but the fact that he's still top 10 in points per game, and with Tatum in and out of the lineup, that like Jalen has carried the weight of this Celtics team. Yes, maybe they're underperforming, but it's also the East in the sense that they're what, 500 and still, you know, like two games back from, you know, the three or four seed or whatever. I'm trying to be as doctorly as possible and be as medical about this, but I think Jaylen Brown has more than deserved a starting spot, but
it's okay to be wrong. That's fine.
I can understand why you would give someone like Sabonis or Levine a nudge possibly over him. Who are your reserves?
I mean, Sabonis, they have a better record than the Celtics. Yeah, so the record I feel thing, like the, that's fair.
Yeah, maybe. I guess I feel like I don't know. I'm always torn on the like team wins dictating sure. All-star bids.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, well, the Wizards fucking suck and Bradley Beal is unquestionably an all-star.
So, ironclad point, adamantium point. That's a Wolverine claw right there.
Oh my God, stop. So who are your reserves in the East?
Okay. My reserves are Jalen and Jason,
yep.
Who I absolutely love, by the way.
I mean, if you really love them, you put them in as your starters, but I understand.
Ben Simmons.
Yep.
Who is one of the best defenders in the game of basketball. Nikola Vucevic, because he's doing really, really him. Well.
You can't say
and
no.
It's just, that's so fucking sad. But he's, he's a player who, if he was on almost any other team, you'd yeah. hear way more about him. James Harden, you just yep. have to. Like, yep. I'm not, if he had been on Brooklyn the whole time or had been on Houston the whole time and everything else was the same, he'd be a starter for me. But I'm going to give you negative kudo points for the way that you forced yourself to Brooklyn, even though every time you force your way out, it looks a little bit ugly, but Harden has been incredible since coming to Brooklyn.
I mean, he's so averaging he's almost a triple all-star. Double.
Yeah. I mean, like if I wasn't being sentimental about it, he'd yeah. be a starter instead of Levine.
Yeah.
And yeah. he definitely will be, by the way.
Yep. Yeah.
Miles Turner,
okay,
who is also in the discussion for Defensive Player of the Year, 3.5 blocks per game.
It's insane.
Can
I take this
game.
Moment quickly to address the idiotic people out there on Twitter who are like, oh, remember when the Celtics could have gotten a sign and trade for Gordon Hayward with Miles Turner? That seems like a bad move by Danny Ainge. It's like, oh, remember when Gordon Hayward was a free agent and could choose where he wanted to play, and that trade would have predicated him choosing to take less money to play with the Pacers. Anyways, continue.
That's what Ainge gets, though. If you're going to deal all the time and you're going to make
sure.
big noise about, like, look at all these picks and look at all these moves and I'm, you know, everyone's available and blah, 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 then you get the negative with the positive.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that I don't mind it. It's just,
dude,
it's kind of hard to make a trade when the player you're trading is a free agent.
For sure. And 3 years down the road, it will be seen probably as a bullet dodge, just like the Justice Winslow trade. You know, it's like,
oh my God, yeah.
The things that Ainge doesn't do almost end up being, you know, better.
As good as, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, my last dude in the East is Julius Randle. The Knicks are the sixth seed. He's averaging 23-10-5, 40% from three on 4+ attempts per game. You know, he's sort of turned into the guy that we always thought he could, and I am going to reward him for that.
Yeah, we were going to throw fists if he was not on your all-star list, because he is 100% an all-star. I mean, he's, as crazy as it is, he's become the face of the Knicks and has like thrived in that role and has made this team a playoff team and is playing some phenomenal basketball. So I didn't have my minutes restrictions or game restrictions for Kyrie for the Nets, basically. So my reserves were Kyrie, Harden, Tatum, Randall, Sabonis, Simmons, and Levine.
Gotcha.
So
I mean, totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I and feel like, by the way, KD and Kyrie look sensational.
So good. I mean, we've talked about it on this show before, but it just shouldn't be underappreciated how utterly insane this season is from Kevin Durant coming off of an Achilles tear. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's out of this world. It's unfathomable. It is blowing the minds and doors off of everyone.
And I would like to say that Jimmy Butler has also been transcendent recently, but he hasn't played enough. And that's why he looks great since.
Do you feel bad keeping Bam off this list?
Not really, because the Heat are 11-17. Like, he's been good. He's been consistent, but I need a really good reason. Like, he hasn't been as good as Vucevic in terms of stats overall. I mean, maybe that's unfair. Like, Trey isn't on this, but, you know.
Trey, I feel like, is also a guy who, I mean, he just dropped 40 on the Celtics, so I guess I saw firsthand in person.
For sure, but his defense and quote-unquote off-ball movement is atrocious, and it's really hurting him.
Can you imagine when /if Trey Young develops an off-ball game like Steph?
Do you develop, like, all it is really is, like, movement.
It's just constantly running.
Yeah, it's just like fucking run. And you don't even need to be like Steve Nash running along the baseline. Just like do cuts, you know, like move your goddamn fucking feet.
It is exhausting watching Steph off ball. Like, he just does not stop moving. And then, like, I would hate, absolutely despise guarding him. It would just be the worst thing in the world because.
And he's what, 10 years older than Trey?
Right. Like, at least I feel like. If I had to guard, I'm trying to think of who's like the worst. If I had to guard Giannis or Joel, then they would just go into the post. They'd throw an elbow. I'd collapse and they'd score. Right.
Like, game, Embiid would get a foul on you too. And you know, Embiid would get like a foul. Do a shimmy and
all he would totally get me, but like, I would just have to stand in one place and then fall to the ground. That's how much defense I have to play. For Steph, I'd have to run like a mile. At full sprint through screens as he's just like weaving his way around the offense. Oh my God. It would be exhausting. It's exhausting just watching him. All right. Well, that was a lot. That was a lot less painful than I anticipated. I feel like things have kind of settled in terms of where who's going to be taken and who won't be. I mean, I'm sure there will be some upsets, but I feel like for the most part, it's hard to argue with anyone who we just have mentioned.
Neither of us mentioned Jeremy Grant, even though he's having a good year, but the Pistons are absolute garbage. You know, Westbrook still gets those numbers, but it's extremely apparent to everybody that it's a little bit garbage.
Yeah, that's become tired now. Not to say anything bad about Westbrook, but it's just like you look at the stats.
I mean, throws and not being able to finish on drives, the whole thing is crazy.
All right, let's move on.
And no one from the Raptors and no one from the Hornets, by the way.
Well, yeah, the Raptors suck. Yeah, that was all right. Gordon Hayward.
They're in the seventh seed.
Gordon Hayward, I was trying to figure out a way to sneak on just because feel good story. But
if him and Vucevic for me, and I was like, this is sort of a toss up.
But we're going to break in favor of the guy who's not staunchly MAGA.
Vucevic has been like the only dude on the Magic that's been there the whole time, you know?
That's true. All right, let's do the West. So, West starters, I have Jokic, LeBron, Kawhi, Steph, and Dame. Any argument there?
I have Steph, Dame, Bron, Gobert, and Joker.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I maybe bent things a little bit, like fuck little positions.
A little bit, yeah.
Also, Jokic, I feel like Joker and Gobert could play together.
Maybe. Maybe.
Like, in an All-Star game, maybe you could see that.
Oh, in an All-Star game. Maybe. It would be fun.
I mean, I understand Kawhi, obviously, but Gobert is transcendent on defense right now to the point where I do think it's legit for him to get MVP votes. And Joker is second to LeBron, I think.
Joker is the MVP, though Dame...
If Dame keeps doing this, then I think he'll grab it.
we talked about it last week where it was like, oh, LeBron is amazing. LeBron is playing high level basketball. LeBron's coming, like that MVP is pretty much locked down. Both Jokic and Dame, especially Dame, have just been holy buckets incredible recently. And if they can keep that up, I feel like there's going to be this MVP race could come down to the wire.
Portland has the fourth best record in the year of our Lord, 2021.
And it's squarely on the shoulders of Dame Lillard.
I mean, we'll throw Melo on there too, but yeah, and it's just fucking amazing what they can do. Also, that's not a good defensive team, and no, they're still doing this. So yeah, I feel like Dame needs.
Yeah, like clockwork. Like clockwork, it's like late in the fourth, they're down three or up three, and Dame shoots some stupid ass logo shot, and it goes in, and you're just like, God, man, how does he do it every single game? He is absurd to watch. He's just wild.
We should stop asking what time it is and just ask it's what just... game it is. Hey, what's the Lillard? Okay, hey, it's 2:30. Okay.
Cool. Yep, I like that. We're going to, this is the kind of stuff that we're going to get on Biden's table, on Biden, you know, like these are the important things that Biden needs to address right now, is getting rid of the word time from our lexicon and instead just using the word Dame. What Dame is it?
Get rid of daylight savings time and just change time to Dame.
Yep. Perfect. Your Western reserves. I have Luka, Paul George, because I don't have my 20-game restriction. Zion, Gobert, Don Mitch, Devin Booker, and CP3.
It's God. Gobert not starting is really.
I know, but you.
I get it. I get it. I totally get it. So this is where we really differ. I have lots of different. Okay, so mine are. Wait, before I say mine. Okay. Which one was hardest for you on your list for reserves?
To put on?
Yeah.
Luka was easy. Luka, Peachy, Zion, Gobert, all super easy. Don Mitch, I guess it was the two Suns guys. I really feel like the Suns should have a player on it, and I couldn't pick between Booker and CP3. And I was just like, well, I can fit both of them on. And I'm sure like there are guys who I'm neglecting in doing so. But I didn't feel too bad about it, but I'm sure you'll tell me why I should feel bad about it.
I don't have any Suns on mine. They're in the fifth seed. They look good.
They look real good.
Booker, I feel like Booker started slow, but CP3 looks great. It's just...
What if CP3 gets an all-star nod over Booker? Does that create controversy?
No. I think what it does, like, it's Chris Paul. You know, for
point guard is
all-star games, you just sort of get in for some of these guys. Yeah. There isn't even going to be a question. Like for all NBA, that's for real. That's when it's, you know, everyone saying, okay, well, who are the 15 best dudes? This is the all-star game. Who's having a good year? That's really what it's supposed to mean. And you want to see your favorite players. So it's a weird agglomeration of different motives for why you would vote for these guys. So it's all up, you know, like take it as you leave it. Who cares?
Okay. So who's your West that was so different?
Okay. So my reserves are the Brow, Kawhi, Luka, SGA. Yeah, who is having a magnificent year. And
I do hate myself now.
I mean, they're 11-17. They're the second worst team in the West. But SGA just looks like he's going to be an all-star from now on. And so maybe I'm a little bit excited about that.
No, I mean, we talked about this like before the season started when we were like, SGA all-star season, this is happening. And I should have done everything in my power to vote it into actually happening. I also like your arbitrary 22 game cutoff just so that Anthony Davis can make the list. Well done.
Well, he's also
injured. So
yeah, like that. I was really going back and forth on that because also I want some other dudes on this list, but it's just like, if he wasn't hurt, he's just so fucking fantastic. Yeah. He is amazing. And the reason the Lakers are as good as they are is because of the tandem with LeBron. Like, LeBron's been stellar, supernova this year. He is, if it was right now, I think he's MVP. But AD is one of the seven best players in the NBA, I feel like he needs to be on the list.
Be honest. You just wanted to see a Luka, LeBron, AD, Jokic, and Gobert lineup in the Western All-Star.
That's see, what the you thing is with see. AD, though, it's like I'm not as excited by his game. Like, it's weird. He sort of plays like a boring Tim Duncan to me sometimes, where it's just so natural and he's so elite and he's so good at it that it seems like it's almost predetermined and you can, you know, just tell what he's going to do. And it's just not very surprising, you know, even though he's a totally creative player. I'm just, he's one of the last people that I want to tune into just to see Anthony Davis. Like, yeah, there's just so many other players that I'd rather be watching.
Oh, I totally agree.
He's incredible. He's one of the fucking seven best players in the NBA. One-on-one against Durant would be, that's what the All-Star game should, it should just be one-on-ones for like 5 minutes.
Oh, like I'd get love points. That. Just see what you got in your bag.
Because those two dudes are basically the same height and they're sort of the, like AD is, you know, bulkier, but man, I feel like both those guys are so fucking incredible. I'd love to see them and their games are just different enough.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to, and I should know the name, and I can't really give a shout out if I don't know the name, but there was an article on The Ringer a while back, which was basically saying, and I love this and I am here for it and I'm going to spit this out into that world so that it happens, is that basically Giannis should become Anthony Davis. Like, that's who Giannis should mold his game after and try to like become him.
He'll need to start shooting from deep.
But that's, I mean, like Anthony Davis does that, but it's not hit. Like Anthony Davis is like, you know, filthy repertoire is the like fade away from the post, just mid range.
Right. He has post moves. Like so, Giannis exactly. And that's is what just Giannis running downhill like a train. Yeah.
Right. That's what Giannis needs to work on developing. Did you finish your Western reserves? We got distracted.
No. Okay. So Brow, Kawhi, Luka, SGA, DeChosen.
Okay. Sure.
Mike Conley.
Okay. So you
Michael
wrote about this today.
Fucking Conley. Okay.
Of all that. I love how that's Mike Conley gets it over Donovan Mitchell, but you're
he's
not,
my next dude.
Yeah. You're not wrong in it because you wrote about this today on Fake Teams where it's like Mike Conley, plus minus leader in the NBA.
Yeah. And it's not even close, really. And Utah's the best team. And even though he's been out recently, you cannot deny what Mike Conley has done, especially compared to what he and the Jazz looked like last year.
Totally. Oh my God. Him especially. Like that trade, it looked awful. It looked absolutely terrible for the Jazz. And everyone was like, well, this was a huge mistake. Mike Conley doesn't have it anymore. And this year he has just, I mean, it's worked. Things have clicked. He is playing phenomenally.
The Jazz always go on a run during the NBA season. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to overstate what's going on here, but they legit look like a team that could be dangerous to the elite teams just because they're scoring, their movement, their defense, and all of it depends upon Gobert's rim protection and his burgeoning perimeter defense. But Mike Conley is the straw that stirs the drink. He has been sensational. So has Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell, who is my last reserve, averaging 24-4-5. His plus minus is 6.7. Giannis's is 6.9. I feel like that's a good reason to put you on the All-Star team.
Yeah, he's been good. I have paid so much more attention to the Jazz after they beat the Celtics, and specifically Donovan Mitchell, because watching, that was the first time in a while that like I have sat down and watched an entire, you know, Jazz game, and damn it, Donovan Mitchell is unsurprisingly very good at basketball, and is just he's developing, he's got that that Dwayne Wade offense.
Yeah, it is. Okay, there's three teams that are above 700 in terms of record right now. They're all in the West, obviously. The Clippers are at 700. The Lakers are at 759. The Utah Jazz are at 828.
That's stupid. It's so dumb. That's insane.
they're like 18-1 against the spread or something crazy over their last 19 games. They're playing as beautiful basketball as you could want. Quinn Snyder just had, you know, there's consistency on the team, sort of, except Boyan wasn't there and Conley was bad. But the whole thing has worked this year, at least over the last 20 fucking games, which seems like most of the season. So they get most of the All-Stars from me. Royce O'Neal has also been fantastic. Like, everyone on that fucking team has been so good.
Quickly, the fan rankings for Eastern Conference guards for the All-Star.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton
don't exist.
More votes than Ben Simmons. Love to see it.
Do more people live in Ohio than live in love Philadelphia?
You love to see it. I didn't.
The Cavaliers are 1-9 over their last 10 games.
Didn't
by the way,
the system.
Just by the way, they're 10-19. They're fast start.
Maddie got to defend his boy. Got to come after Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons can't fight his own fights.
Unless he wants to drop 42 on
Unless
you and
he
have
wants
a
to
career
drop 40.
Game.
This is that
That's
game
my
is
stat
the perfect
line of
epitome
the week.
Is the perfect epitome of why I. Ben Simmons pisses me off. That's your stat. Okay, well,
42 points, 9 boards, 12 dimes, a steal, a block, 12 of 13 from the line. How dare you? How dare you? Against the Jazz, by the way. Against the Jazz without Embiid. He doesn't need to.
Every single fucking week. No.
He doesn't need to.
He does need to.
Philadelphia is 19-10. They have the best record in the East.
Ben Simmons, if you're be better constantly.
Wait a second.
That's the motto.
It's not like those 42 points were on a bunch of threes. Like Embiid wasn't there. He could go inside.
Yeah.
Against Rudy Gobert.
Does this just finally prove my point that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid can't play together? Am I thriving now?
No, because when they played the Lakers, it was really, really good. Like 2 years ago, is it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Kawhi's bucket that bounced around 38 trillion times.
2 years ago.
Like that seems like it was 12 years ago.
I know.
By the
good
way.
Lord.
Anyway, when Simmons and Embiid are on the right team where the geometry makes sense and you have good perimeter defense along with good perimeter shooting, then they work. When you don't have that, then they fucking suck. Just like every other team that doesn't have good shooting. Like it's not. I think the question that faces the NBA right now is how many guys can you have on your team that can't shoot threes at average? And right. Some teams have different answers than others, which makes sense because of the personnel that you have. Mm-hmm. So while like Davis Bertans is finally on fire right now and he's raining threes, you know, the Wizards are still a fucking shit team. Like, who cares? Russell Westbrook can't hit anything, and Beal's taking more long twos than the Philadelphia 76ers, that tandem can work when it's complemented properly. And this year it looks like it is.
Well, as Natty just barged his way into, yes, this is the Jan Vesely favorite stat line of the week segment named in honor of Wizards great Jan Vesely, who back in 2013 posted a stat line of 4 points, 2 rebounds and 6 fouls in 8 minutes of play. Natty went, all lovey dovey for Ben Simmons.
If he was a Piston, I'd have a fucking just whole goddamn wardrobe of just Ben Simmons shit.
I'm going to go all lovey dovey for Anthony Edwards, who I feel like people have been really quick to turn on him.
Because he sucked for a lot of the year.
Yeah, but like the guy is, I just feel like people are pigeonholing him into this Anthony Bennett, like, and other guys who get pushed to the number one pick because it's just an average draft and someone has to go number one overall. But on Tuesday against the Lakers.
Was it an average draft?
28 points.
Like a good draft.
5 for 10 from 3, 7 totally. Boards, 5 assists, 3 stocks against the Lakers. You love to see that. He's a young guy developing. The dude can dunk out of this world.
Yeah.
Like he can legit fly, which is just incredible to watch and enjoyable. But also, he just seems like a good dude. Like his post-game interviews are awesome. And he just seems like he's got like a good head on his shoulders. And I feel like there's I think there's going to be a I think there's a difference between him and other, you know, early guys who maybe don't come into the league not with quite a developed offensive game, and people are worried about whether or not they're going to actually figure it out. I think that he can figure it out, and I think it's going to take some time. But I just wanted to give him some props and some love, because that was a really nice game he put on the Lakers, and also he's just the man is a walking highlight reel. So I love to give him a shout out.
I feel so goddamn bad for Minnesota fans that I'm just going to agree with you. He is really 5 minutes old. That team is in a tailspin. They just lost DAR. They haven't had Cat. Everything sucks there. And it's nice to have positive things every once in a while for a really snake-bitten franchise. I mean, that's every time they get something good, something else terrible happens. So hopefully Anthony Edwards is really fucking stupendously number one draft pick. Awesome. Him and Cat together, like highlight all throughout the game.
100%. All right, before we move on, let's take a quick ad break. All right, we are back, and let's turn our attention to the coming week and talk favorite waiver ads. I will start us off. There is a man whom I have been touting long and hard to go get off of waivers, and that man is Nerlens Noel for the New York Knicks. He has a ridiculous stat line on 18 minutes. He's averaging 2 blocks and 0.9 steals on 18 minutes, which is just mind-blowing. And now that Mitchell Robinson is out, he is getting starting minutes, and he, in those three starts, he's averaged 29 minutes. He's got 7.3 points, 6.3 rebounds, and he's giving you three stocks. So he is giving you elite defense, and he's getting minutes to play. The points and rebounds, like, those will fluctuate, especially rebounds. I think he'll probably start getting you pretty reliably, you know, closer to double digit rebounds per game. The points are, you know, just a nice bonus, but really it's that defense. And you'll see that as a theme for my waiver ads this week, but that defense that he is putting forward is well worth rostering.
Absolutely. He's it's tough to find specialists in stocks that you can actually roster long-term rather than just try to stream. And while Nerlens is getting minutes, I am right on board with you. Fucking roster him.
Yes, 100%. Who do you like on waivers this week?
I'm going to go with a guy I mentioned already, Royce O'Neal. He's 25% rostered. He's a top 100 player. He's averaging 8-7-2 with 1.5 stocks on high efficiency. His ratios are great. The points are underwhelming, but like you just said, and like we've said for several years now, championship fantasy teams also have guys where points aren't the stat cat that you're looking at. You need all around production, and Royce O'Neal gives it to you in an incredibly elite efficient way. Like, he is just one of the best role players in the NBA right now. I mean, he's not really a sixth man, but like his all around contribution to that team is really sensational, and he'll get you counting stats, just not.
Yes. Points. You did a deep dive on him on faketeams.com, which obviously you should go read if you're listening to this, but the thing that I think is why he's such a good name to bring attention to is because of what you said. If you sort by points, or if you look at, like, none of his counting stats jump off the page, but the whole package of what he's producing is elite fantasy. You said it was top 100. I think you were saying he's like top 70 or top 75 on ESPN player radar right now. So getting that off waivers, and since nothing is like directly, like, you can point to it and be like, wow, he's doing this really well. It's just an overall package that is extremely effective and produces great fantasy value. So knowing his name is going to help you out.
And available again, and 25% rostered.
Yes. Well, obviously, can you imagine if we did mention people who were not available on the waiver wire section?
I feel like that would be Durant.
This Damian Lillard guy's averaging 30 plus points over the last 5 games. He's pretty good. This is a man to add if you have the space for him, and that is Jakob Poeltl for the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs aren't playing right now because of COVID protocols, but he is, if you can hold on to him and just like kind of sit out this delay, you should definitely go do that. He has started the last six games for the Spurs and has averaged 10 points, 9.7 boards, and 3.8 stocks. Three blocks of those 3.8 stocks. He's basically averaged a double-double with three blocks per game, which is ridiculous. And no one in the NBA is averaging that stat line across the season. Only Clint Capella and Rudy Gobert are averaging 10 plus points, 9 plus rebounds, and 2 plus blocks on the season. So Jakob Poeltl is definitely a elite man. Like, he can get you a double-double and elite defense. That is 100% worth rostering. And you're going to have to wait out the Spurs' delay of not playing games. But if you can do that, you should certainly be doing that and stashing him.
Yeah, it probably means that he's even more available than if he were actually playing those games right now. So
plus
go
he's
grab
on the Spurs, and somehow
the
Spurs are just perpetually like you when you said back when we were talking Western guys, and you were like DeMar DeRozan. I was like, oh yeah, DeMar DeRozan is like having a really good season, and I should know this. He's on my fantasy team, but somehow the Spurs are just like they've just become an like I'm just like, oh yeah, the Spurs exist. So
they're
take advantage
so
of
that. Fucking quiet.
They are. Like, they just, they're just there.
They yeah, they're like just. The,
like a G in lasagna.
I mean, they're 16-11. If they were 16-11 in the East, they would be basically tied with the Bucks at 16-12. Come on. That's get insane. Real, everyone. Get real.
Petition to move the Spurs to the East so that they can increase their sex appeal.
It's... I mean, it is so goddamn fucking funny. They're in the West with that record.
No one pays them any mind.
They might not have an all-star. That's like
very possible and utterly absurd.
Man,
it's actually I feel like it's almost certain that they're not going to have an all-star. I think it might be DeMar should be an all-star, but I just don't know who is going to get bumped for him.
If you were the Spurs, would you want Drummond? Like, if you could do a LaMarcus Aldridge for Drummond, would you want to do that?
I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge has been giving them nothing, but...
Oh, yeah. This is... and you'd have to...
Well, right.
Re-sign Drum.
Yes? I feel like Drum... I feel like Drum is starting to get the like Russell Westbrook stink, which is unfair in the sense of just like people are like, well, yes, he puts up really good numbers. Yes, he can rebound, but no one wants him. And it's like, well, I mean, if the guy can average 16 rebounds a game, it's pretty valuable.
No one wants him for $28 million a year.
Right,
like,
right.
The Cavs got him for a second round pick last year. Let's remember.
Yeah.
That might be the cost of getting him this year. So he's a guy that you are not going to pay what his current salary is. There's no fucking way he gets another contract like that. I shouldn't say there's no fucking way because this is the NBA and maybe somebody maxes him out. But the Spurs, they're on the cusp of something.
Yeah.
They're like one good player away from being extremely dangerous, I think.
And what's DeMar DeRozan is early 30s. Yeah. I was just trying to see if he matched up at all with the, well, you got the young guys, you got DeJounte and you've got Derek White.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And Patty Mills, the attorney.
I mean, if
Patty
Aaron
Mills.
Gordon wasn't injured, that was the dream. I mean,
yeah.
Aaron Gordon in San Antonio,
another quiet guy. Yeah, for sure. With great defense.
You got any more waiver ads?
I do. I have two more. Mentioned it before, but the Latvian Laser is heating up. Davis Bertāns is 21% owned. Over the last two games, he's 14 for 17 on threes. He had 35 points against Denver the other day. That's what Washington signed him for. That's what he did in San Antonio. If he turns into the high volume, high efficiency, deep shooter that we all hoped he would be on Washington, then he must be rostered. Like his ownership could jump by 50 points really easily, I think. So if you have room for a sniper, you should pick him up. I also want people to take a look at Sadiq Bey on the Pistons.
Your boy.
One of my favorite rookies. He's 25% rostered. He's 30-plus minutes per game over the last two games. He's basically taking a bunch of the minutes that used to belong to Blake. He's just a perfect Villanova 3-and-D guy. He's already had an extremely big game with 30 points. He'll be getting minutes for the rest of the season, and that volume is golden if you're a fantasy team.
Yep. Love it. I agree with all of those. All right, let's move on. It's time for Studs and Duds, which both Natty and I pick one player who we think will perform above average in fantasy this coming week and one who will underperform. Natty is a perfect 500 on the year, 3-3. Yes. Deshaun Tate had a nice week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so did Kyle Lowry. So that was a negative.
But he got injured. So that should count.
He still played all your games. Yes. Yes. That is what we are rooting for, is injuries.
Like, God, you don't want to get injured. That's a bad, person. What a dud thing to happen. Terrible. Come on.
Meanwhile, yours truly 5-1, baby.
Nice fucking
because
job. Because
Bojan Bogdanovic had a negative fantasy game against the Clippers.
Yeah. Six
You're
points,
welcome,
I think. That's yeah. brutal.
You're Yikes. Welcome, everyone. So I'm going to keep that trend running, and I'm going to put out good vibes, not only for a podcast favorite, but also for a guy who I added off waivers a couple weeks ago. Gladiator Thaddeus is my stud for the week. Thaddeus Young. The Bulls play the Kings on Saturday, Rockets on Monday, and then the T-Wolves on Wednesday. A pretty nice lineup of games for someone to take on. And I think that Thad, we've seen obviously what he can do. And I think his offensive game is going to click during these weeks. He's still a double, you know, he's a double digit rebounder for the Bulls. And so I think he'll be continue to be a nice compliment along with Zach LaVine.
I like that a lot. I like that. He's a dude that should get traded for post haste.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Holy
yes.
Shit.
The Bulls
he
should
looks
be
so great.
Also, the Bulls, I feel like it's terrible timing for Lauri Markkanen to be injured, because he also has been kind of actually his counting numbers have been pretty good.
Totally.
And I feel like that you could capitalize on that and move them, because I feel like he's perpetually flirted with good numbers for the Bulls, but has never, like, things haven't really come of it. So I wonder if it's time for the Bulls to move on from him, but unfortunately he's injured. But yes, Thaddeus, Gladiator Thaddeus seems like the perfect veteran waiver wire ad for, or trade ad for, you know, any team looking to contend.
I love that. Yeah. And I am actually just realizing that I did my games for next week starting Monday.
Oh.
But I'm not going to go back on it. I'm just going to keep
boy.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Because I feel this way. I think this is going to make you happy. My stud is Kemba.
Ooh, I did. That makes me very happy.
Yeah. So next week, he's going up against Dallas, Atlanta, the Pacers, and Washington.
Oh, you love
three
to see that.
Of those teams are fairly easy defenses. He's been up and down, but I sort of feel like he's been getting better. And, you know, like every game, every day off, every little bit more, he's inching back to what we want Kemba to be. And so I'm sending him positive vibes, and I'm hoping that he has a really good week.
I am here for it. In his last three games that he's played, 17, 25, and 21, shooting pretty well from the field. So you love to see that. And that lineup you gave is a pretty favorable one for a guard. So, and of course, you know, taking the stethoscope off, I would love to see Kemba, everything fall into place for him. Nothing brings me more joy than watching Kemba Walker get hot in big games.
Especially, I mean, if Boston goes on takes 3 of 4, you know, all of a sudden they're in the third seed, you know, like there's there's so many moving parts in the playoffs seeding this year. But like you said earlier, everyone in the East is separated by one or two games, really.
A team in the East that has a terrible schedule this week and it's going to produce my dud. Pascal Siakam gets to face the Sixers twice and then the Heat.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not fun. Not what you want to see, especially when you're
like, I'm out for personal reasons. Yeah. I'm scared.
Especially when the only way you can score is a spin move in the post. So,
hey man, having OG back is really going to help him.
No, that definitely will. But Pascal Siakam, I would not look forward to having to play Ben Simmons twice and then get to face Jimmy Buckets.
especially because Lowry might be out for a couple of games, which means FVV is going to have to take the reins. And so you're just another good dude down. And when you're going up against elite defenses like the Sixers, you need everybody.
Yeah. Who's your dud?
My dud is a former Celtic.
Who?
Enes Kanter going up against DeAndre Ayton on Phoenix, Joker on Denver, and maybe Big Spain on the Lakers. All of them are away games. That's just not fun. That's
rough.
It's just not fun. Oh, by the way, people should maybe pick up Big Spain, Marcus Gasol, if they need a center, because he could you know, if he's taking all those minutes from AD while he's out.
Plus, he's going to get you assists.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this could be a nice pre-All-Star streak for the big man.
That's a good call. Look at you just slipping even more waiver wire advice. God, Natty, going above and beyond.
Well, I, you know, did studs and duds wrong, so I'm glad that I can get a little bit more back on my positive side of the ledger.
Perfect. Perfect. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. All right. Finally, let's wrap up with one thing you're looking forward to this coming week. Natty, what do you got?
I am looking forward to Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and everybody else who's gone out with, like, oh, my Achilles is almost hurt. It's almost hurt. Like, just fucking rest them. I don't want to see you for the next 2 weeks, especially if you have to play in this All-Star game. Like, the next 2 weeks, I'm looking forward to restraint. I'm looking forward to common sense. I'm looking forward to other people playing. You know, like, it's nice to see all these other faces, see what they can do. There's a nightmare scenario where, like, all these dudes got injured right before the All-Star game.
God,
and I think
awful.
We have to avoid that at all costs. So, like, if, let's say, Durant was supposed to come back, you know, tomorrow or this weekend, I would be like, nope, you'll come back Monday. You know, like, with Anthony Davis, if he was ready in 4 weeks, to be like, nope, you're staying out another week after that. Like, just, you don't need to fucking scratch and tear for every win right now. Like, some of these teams are going to be even more out of it than they already are, and you're going to have some easy wins in the second half of the season, which we still don't know what the schedule is or how it's going to look.
It's true.
So I would be keeping my powder dry.
Yeah, I agree with that. What I'm looking forward to in the coming weeks is not actually basketball related. The first look at Disney's Cruella dropped this past week, and I'm going to be honest, I'm digging it. I am looking forward to it. I think that Emma Stone playing a kind of Harley Quinn Joker-esque Cruella could work. It looked like pretty, it had some vibes that I was digging, and I'm here for it. I'm here for Disney reimaginings that aren't just like same movie just retreaded. So doing a different take on it, it looks good. It looks fun. I am intrigued. I'm intrigued. So I'm here for it.
Will it be better or worse than Rise of Skywalker?
Better, because Rise of Skywalker is a very low bar.
Okay. Somehow Cruella is back.
Somehow Cruella has returned. Though I was a little upset that in the trailer they didn't, like, blast her theme. But maybe they're saving that for the actual movie, because
I assume it's going to be the gigantic number at some point. Or maybe they just won't do it at all.
That would be soul crushing. That would be almost as bad as their choice to not make Mulan not a musical, which is like, what are we doing here, Disney? I know you're trying to do the, you know, Crouching Tigers, Hidden Dragon vibe for the Mulan, but I need my music. What are we doing here, Disney? What am I without my music?
I bet they listen to you. I mean, they know they listen to this.
Everyone listens to this podcast. This podcast. Oh, yeah. This podcast is world renowned, highly regarded. And that's why you should subscribe, so that you can join in listening to the greatest podcast. I mean, dare I say the world? Is that too narrow a statement even? Are we the best? I mean, they just landed
if
on Mars.
Carmelo had his own pause, or if he has his own pod, then that's better. But
yes,
we're right there.
We're the best podcast on Mars. We'll say that. I feel like we can say that. That's a good claim for us to make. So make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy football podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at The Long Two Podcast to interact with us. We'd love to hear from you guys. And Natty, amidst your torrential snowstorm in New York, stay safe, my friend.
You do the same. Ditto to everybody out there. Stay warm and try to help somebody if you can.